Thank you, Andrew.
Good morning to you all.
I've
said it before, we are a truly privileged people. At the funeral on Tuesday, we were reminded of the fact that David, as a believer, I mean, all the family there, you could see it was a celebration. It wasn't, yes, there's mourning and there's grieving, but there's celebration because they all understand exactly who we belong to and where we're going to go. Sometimes this life gives us lemons, and they say make lemonade, but sometimes it's very difficult to do that. But this morning, I just wanted to share on something that the Lord is dealing in my life. Some of it I don't particularly look forward to. But over the last couple of weeks, I had a bit of a rant about fuel prices, the cost of electricity, the fact that BP have paid out over $2 billion in shares to them. I mean, please. And you know what frustrates me most of all is I can do nothing about it. But whether you like it or not, you get sucked into it. You get taken along. And whether you like it or not, you begin to think a little bit like the world. What can I do? Can I duck this, duck that? You try to make plans and you try to go places that as a Christian you shouldn't go. And you know, one of the things that happens is you take your eyes off of the Lord. No matter how many years you've been serving the Lord or how well you know the Lord, things like that can take you off and you lose sight of what the Lord has said. You lose sight of His promises. Your faith starts to crumble a bit. And so the Lord spoke to me and He put two psalms on my heart. And so I'd like to read to you from, and I'll read it. It's Psalm 37, if you want to turn with me, to starting at verse 7. And the Lord put two psalms on my heart, which I will read a bit of. I can't read all of this one. Psalm 37 is quite a long psalm, so I'm not going to go all the way there. But very simply, He says, "Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him and entrust yourself to Him. Do not fret, whine, or agonize because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Cease from anger and abandon wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For those who do evil will be cut off, but those who wait on the Lord, they will inherit the land." And I was just talking earlier on to Mike, the fact that you get very frustrated. And I find myself getting angry. And the Lord is speaking to me very clearly, reminding me of exactly who I am and who He is. And He says, "Be still and know that I am Lord. Be still and wait on me." I don't know about you guys, but I like to do things. And I know a lot of people here the same way. I like to be doing. Being still before the Lord is, I've got to admit it, it's actually quite difficult for me. I really have to give it some serious attention. I can't casually be still before the Lord. It's something I need to pay attention to. And being still before the Lord means literally that being still. We have a quiet time in the morning. You have a quiet time in the morning, maybe listen to music, you read a bit. The question is, are you actually still before the Lord? Because it's only in that time when we are still that we begin to hear what the Lord is trying to say to us. And I'd like to read, if I've just read to you, it says from verse 11, if we just carry on to verse 11, it says, "But the humble will at last inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity and peace." And you know, we lack peace. We lack rest because we don't keep our trust exactly where it's meant to be. You know, in verse 12 and 13, it says, the Lord laughs at the wicked. And I suppose that put me in the right place. And that is, the Lord laughs at the wicked because He says, "Who are you? Who is man to stand before me when my plans are in place?" And sometimes we think that we actually can do something ourselves. And you know, really, in the end, we can't. The Lord is actually in control. And one of the things is that If we don't focus on him, if we don't keep our eyes fixed on the Lord and his promises, and keep our faith in him, the world starts to intrude on our thinking, intrudes on our attitudes, intrudes on our actions. You know, we are subject to temptation. We are subject to trying to sort things out. Dare I say, we even may be tempted to shortcut and find our own way through things that may not be very good for us. We're inclined to compromise our walk in trying to sort our lives out. And there's a lot of scripture where the Lord promises that he will take care of us. And if we have a look at the problem that we have, is we have envy of the world. We want what they've got. But we need to turn our eyes back to the Lord and stop ourselves looking at what other people have got. We need to be content with what the Lord gives us. If I just want to read to you Psalm 37 again, from verses 16 onwards, 16 to 19. Better is the little of the righteous who seek the will of God than the abundant riches of many wicked and godless people. For the arms of the wicked will be broken, but the Lord upholds and sustains the righteous who seek him. And again, it's when we're not keeping our eyes on the Lord, we're inclined to want what others have got. It's a fairly natural human reaction of the flesh. But we get frustrated, and I must admit, I started to get a bit angry, and you start to make these different plans. So the Lord put a psalm in my heart, which is easy to remember. It's Psalm 73, which is Psalm 73. So if you'd like to turn with me to Psalm 73. And I want to read from verse 1. And it gives you, for me, it's an understanding that it's easy to slip. It's easy to begin to, I won't say fall away, but to begin to lose your faith a bit, to start to look at your own resources, to look at your own wealth, to look at the wealth of the world as your trust. Look at the finances of the world to support you. In other words, you look to your own finances, you look to your own well-being, and that's not what the Lord wants. And so I'll just read to you from Psalm 73, verses 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet came close to stumbling. My steps had almost slipped, for I was envious of the arrogant, as I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pains in their death. Their body is fat and pampered. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like mankind. Therefore, pride is their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment, like a long, luxurious robe. The eye bulges from fatness, and they have more than the heart desires. The imaginations of their mind run riot with foolishness. They mock and wickedly speak of oppression. They speak loftily with malice. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue swaggers through the earth. And you know, we look at that, and it brings you up short. For me, it was like a bit of a wake-up call. The Lord to say, where is your trust? Where is your trust? You know, we rant about the wicked. We rant about what's going on around us. We need to come back to where the Lord wants us to be. We need to come back. And it's only in the stillness of the presence of the Lord that we find that. And what I wanted to do was to read to you from verse 16, which brings me to the main point of what I want to talk about today. And that is in verse 16, when the writer of the psalm is ranting about how the wicked survive, and that he almost went the same route as them. He almost put himself in the same place. But he says, when I considered how to understand this, it was too great an effort for me and too painful. Until I came into the sanctuary of God, then I understood, for I considered their end. Surely you set the wicked-minded immoral on slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. and I can carry on. It's quite a long psalm, but I recommend that you read it. But it's very clear that we can become quite complacent. We don't always see what it is we should be seeing when we take our eyes off the Lord. And the question in my life, for me, my challenge to me, and I want to encourage all of you, what is the Lord saying to you? Are we looking to the Lord? Are we looking for the Lord for our lives? Or are we relying on our jobs, our finances, our savings, other people, family, whatever may be the case? Don't rely on family, that's not good for you. Okay? But you've got to remember that we are going to struggle in this world as Christians if we don't keep our eyes on the Lord. There are a lot of scriptures. For me, the Lord put another scripture in my heart at the same time as this. It's one of the very first scriptures I ever learned. It's probably one of the few that I still seem to happen to remember. Proverbs verse 3 and 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. And in that is the crux of what the Lord was speaking to me about. Is I began to think I understood. Began to think I knew or could or would. But the Lord says, lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. It's a promise. It's not a maybe, possibly. He says he will. And that is something we need to rely on, is the promises of God. And sometimes people say memory verses. In the old days, they used to make us learn lots of memory verses. Some of them I must admit to have forgotten. But there's others that just stick. And the Lord brings them to mind in places when you've got those problems. And you've got the hassle. The Lord will bring these memory verses to mind. And we need to spend time with the Lord. We need to know his grace. We need to know his love. We need to know his plan, his purpose for our lives. And we cannot do that if we don't spend time with him. And I'm talking about reading. I'm not talking about just praying, although we should be praying a lot these days. But it's reading, praying, and one other which we sometimes forget, and that is fellowship. Because in that fellowship, we can encourage one another. We can be encouraged. We can actually learn to grow. It's in that fellowship too when the Lord starts to knock off the little edgy corners and bits, the rough bits that we need to have knocked off of us. Maybe you don't think that, but I know that I've got little rough edges that need to be knocked off. And we envy the outside world. But when we've been born again, we have a seed that is fresh, it's incorruptible. And it's a faith in Jesus Christ that will take us to a place where nobody else who's not born again can go. So why do we envy the world? Why do we envy the flesh and the wealth and the power that these men and women have got when we have something far, far greater? It's incorruptible. It's there forever. It's a promise. We have something they don't have. Why do we want what they want? They actually need what we have. And to encourage you, we talk about evangelizing. Evangelizing, I don't like the word evangelizing because sometimes from the old days it brought connotations of a real Bible-thumping turn or burn sort of message that you used to get. You know, the old serious guys who used to stand at the pulpit with the smoke and the flames around them, almost. But we need to be able to share with people what the Lord has done for us. And most of all, for me, is the hope that I have in the Lord in this really, really troubled time. And when we look at verses 18, I just want to read, we read 18 and 19. It says, surely you set the wicked-minded and moral on slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment. They are completely swept away by sudden terrors. Like a dream which seems real until one awakens. O Lord, when stirred, you observe the wicked. You will despise their image. We understand where they're going. And we should have a true desire or even fear for them. That we need to say to them, do you know where you're going? Some men and women I know who are extremely rich and have got a lot of money won't listen. They have a trust in where they are. They have a trust in their finances, their trust in their businesses. And you've seen, like with COVID, it can all disappear in a flash. Okay, we've come out of a place, my wife, myself, many years ago, we thought it was all good. And then over a couple of years, it's gone. It's absolutely disappeared. There's nothing there. So all your trust in your pensions and this and that and annuities and all the rest, it's gone. There's nothing left. And you can't do anything about it. Isn't that exciting? And so your trust has got to come back to the Lord, because he has promised to look after us. There are a lot of promises. But one of the things that we need to understand is the Lord is preparing us. You know, we can sit here each day and be nice and complacent and say, that's fine, I'm okay with the Lord. But I challenge you this morning, get before the Lord. Get into that quiet place. Get into the sanctuary where you will hear from the Lord. You will understand what the Lord wants of you. Quite often we say, oh, we don't know what the Lord wants. And I will challenge you to say, are you spending that really precious quiet time with the Lord? I find a real quiet time, being still in front of the Lord, is difficult. It requires a sacrifice. It requires discipline. It doesn't just happen like, hello, Lord, I'm going to be still before you. You know, your brain is churning away. You've got different thoughts. You've got the family. You've got finances. You've got this. You've got that. And you don't get in front of the Lord to find out what he actually wants of you. Because it's shutting this and opening this. And for me, that I'll be honest with you, it's really difficult to be still. And you know, the thing is, I don't want to miss what the Lord has got. I want to be where he wants me to be. Are we where the Lord wants us to be? Are we what the Lord wants us to be? I'm challenging, please, but I know that the grace of the Lord is there for all of us. Please, so it's not, if you don't know, it's easy. Get in front of the Lord. Speak to him. He'll be clear with you. You'll come out of there with a peace and an understanding of what he wants of you. We have a story, I think most of you know the story of Elijah, who he destroys the whole temple of Baal. He kills all the priests. I mean, he brings rain. I mean, he does absolutely incredible things. Well, not him, but through him, the Lord works. He brings fire and he burns up all the water. He burns up all the sacrifice. And then they kill all the prophets. So, I mean, we talk about a serious, serious miracle of God. Call it a miracle. And then Jezebel says, you boy, I'm going to kill you. And he runs. And I still never quite worked that out. But he allowed his emotions to cloud what the Lord could and would do for him. And one lady stands up and goes, I'm going to kill you. And he runs. And he leaves everything behind. I can actually understand where he's at, quite honestly. But he runs, and I think it's interesting to see that what the Lord does, first of all, an angel comes to feed him, look after him, and then says, go there. Because at this stage, I think he wasn't really paying attention to anything. So the angel said, go, he went. When he gets to the mountain, the Lord says, I want to talk to you. So to cut the story short, there's this incredible wind, this storm, but God wasn't in it. Then there's an earthquake, and God wasn't in it. Then there was this quiet, still period of time, and the still voice of God, and he knew that that's where God was. So he wrapped his scarf around his head so he couldn't see, and he went out, and the Lord spoke to him. And when the Lord spoke to him, he said, very simple, so what are you doing here? It's a crazy question, because the Lord just sent him there. All right, what I'm saying is he's been directed to be there. But his question is, what are you doing here? And the reason that question was asked is because he wanted Elijah to tell him what the problem was. He knew why he was there. He directed him. But his question was very simple. It was a bit of a rebuke. Let's be serious about it. What are you doing here? And he said, I've been zealous. Look at all the work I've done. I've done this, I've done that. I've killed all the prophets of Baal. And you know, but they've killed all the prophets. I'm the only one left. Woe is me. And the Lord goes, he doesn't even answer him really when you get down to it. First things first, he doesn't ask or talk about Jezebel at all. There's no mention of her, no mention of don't worry about her. He just ignores the entire problem of Jezebel completely. because she was inconsequential. She was of no importance to the overall scheme of things. So the Lord did a couple of things. One is that he fed him, obviously, but then he encouraged him by saying, when he said, "I'm the only one left, they're trying to kill me too now," he said, no, I've saved another 7,000 guys. You're not alone. Relax, 7,700. Anyway, quite a few of them. What he was saying is, you're not alone. There's a lot of other people that I've saved who haven't bowed down to Baal, who are still loyal to me, who still serve me, who still seek me. So don't worry about it. You've been doing your job. Because I think Elijah thought that he'd failed in his prophetic ministry. But the Lord was saying, no, there are a lot of other men who haven't. They still listen to you. They've still been obedient to me. They still serve me. So I encouraged him. And the third thing that he did is that he gave him specific instructions of what to do and where to go, who to anoint, who to see, and he goes and calls Elisha. So the Lord gives him specific direction. And that is what happens to us when we end up, like I did, in a place where you are not seeing what the Lord wants you to see. You're seeing the world around you. You're seeing the turmoil and the things. Like we were talking to Mike earlier on about the fact that you've got all these companies making profits. You've got Russia who's decided to suddenly do maintenance on their pipeline. What? I mean, it's all people playing games. And they are way below what the Lord wants us to see or be concerned with. So we need not to be concerned with them at all. But let's see. But to understand that the Lord is still in control. The Lord is still in charge. And so with Elijah, just a matter of interest, the Lord didn't bin him straight away. I need to be clear about that. He listened to the Lord. In that quiet, still time, things became clear to him. He was encouraged, he was directed, and the Lord put him on the road again. So he lifted him up, basically dusted him off and said, keep going. He carried on for another 6 to 10 years, or at least. What I'm saying is he continued as the prophet of the Lord for another good 6 or 10 years with Elisha as his servant, by the way. Elisha wasn't just some guy who traveled along with him. Elisha became Elijah's servant. So he was called and he heard the Lord. He just went. So today we get bombarded by the media. We get distracted by, I don't know about you, but literally you go onto Google and you can find anything that you can think of. And even those things that you can't think of or shouldn't think of. All right. But it's all there. Black and white, color, photographs, videos, whatever you want. It's an incredibly distracting situation we find ourselves. The media here, there's no good news in the media. It's all bad news because that's what they sell. That's what people want to see. Don't ask me why. But we need to be careful to discern what's going on around us. We need to be in a place where the Holy Spirit is working in us. We are discerning what the Lord wants. Because if we don't, we're going to end up slowly, but surely conforming to the world, seeking what they want, as opposed to conforming to what the Lord wants, to what the Holy Spirit is wanting of you. And it's not easy sometimes. But we do have to understand that the Lord is in control. He's given us a lot of promises. We've got scripture that we all know. Hebrews 11:6. We need to, without faith, he says it's impossible to please God. So we either believe God or we don't. And I know it's a very simple question, but you know, it can be quite troublesome sometimes. But it's only we get into that quiet time with the Lord to understand what he's saying to us that we can begin to have that faith, to grow that faith, to say, yes, I can trust the Lord. He's proved himself in the past. I'm sure of I've been a Christian for a long time. Some of it's not so good. But in that time, there are times when I haven't trusted in the Lord. But you know, I've come, as I get older and I've begun to understand more about what the Lord wants of me, I have to trust in the Lord. I want to trust in the Lord. Because when I look around, there is nothing else that I want to trust in. I do not want to trust myself to the finances of the world, the jobs and things like that. And I say, we've been there, we've lost a lot. That's not a woe is me call, by the way. It's just a practical situation. The Lord has been incredibly good to us in bringing us to where we are right now. I mean, really, I couldn't expect any more. it is just way beyond our imaginings. We've been blessed beyond measure. And so we've had that faith. And we need to spend that time in the sanctuary. Like Psalm 37, verse 17 says, in the sanctuary, he understood therein. But it's in that sanctuary the Lord gives us the understanding, the wisdom, the knowledge that we all need to continue on the road. One of the things is we need to grow as Christians. We need to continue to grow. If I was just thinking, there's a scripture, Hebrews 2. Maybe we can have a look at Hebrews 2. I just would like to, just as a encouragement. Hebrews 2, Hebrews 2 verse 1, and that is, it's a warning here. For this reason, that is because of God's final revelation in his Son Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus' superiority to the angels, we must pay much closer attention than ever to the things that we have heard, so that we do not drift away from the truth. We live in a time where I believe that if we're not going forward, if we're not going forward in the Lord, we're actually going backward. I say that because from my own experience, that is, if I'm not going forward in the Lord, I am actually going backwards. And we need to be in a place. 2 Peter 3:17 speaks and says that we need to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus. How do we grow in the grace and knowledge? We have to keep on the praying, the reading, I know I say it most times, and the fellowship. We need to be in a place where we are hearing what the Lord wants of us. We are discerning. How many of us can say, Lord, show me who to pray for? And the Lord shows you. I don't know if you guys have ever tried that. It's an experiment. Give it a go. Say, Lord, who do you want me to pray for this morning? He'll put people on your heart. And I almost guarantee you that when you text that person, you speak to that person, oh, thank you, that was just at the right moment. They may not explain why. They don't have to. But you've been prompted by the Spirit to pray for those people. And that's what the Lord wants for us. People who walk in the Spirit. You know, the Lord has been speaking to me about exactly who I am, what I'm doing, and where I am. I've moved out of a different environment, come here. And I can assure you, things are not, what's the word? Smooth sailing. I don't know about you, but I have family. And I find that it's challenging. I didn't say anything else, did I? Okay. But it's challenging. You can't help it. It's just the way the world works. And we need to understand the Lord wants us to be in a place where, A, we are patient before the Lord. And we're looking at James 5:7. He talks about the farmer who needs to be patient. When he's planted the seeds, he needs to be patient. He needs to wait for the rain. I don't know if you ever watched Faith Like Potatoes. Anybody? No. Please do me a favor. When you get a chance, watch the movie. It's actually really quite interesting. It's a Christian movie, and it's called Faith Like Potatoes. And it's all about the farmer having patience to wait for the rain. And just like us, sometimes we don't see what the Lord is doing. We become impatient. We become discontent, possibly. Oh, horrible word of the Lord. But we become impatient. It's probably a good word. And the Lord calls us to have patient endurance. If you come with me to Hebrews 10:36, we're nearly there. 10:36. Hebrews 10:36. Oh, I've seen it somewhere, I'm sure. And some of the versions, when you read them, say that we need to have patience. Some of them say we need to have endurance, but I enjoy the Amplified, because the Amplified says, for you have need of patient endurance to bear up under difficult circumstances without compromising, so that when you have carried out the will of God, you may receive and enjoy to the full what is promised. The Lord has promised us a lot. He's promised us eternal hope. He's promised us a lot of things. We need to make sure we understand where those promises are. I'm not talking about having to read screeds of scripture. Read God's promises, even if you go and, pricey, extract them. But the promises are there, and all of them are yes and amen, Jesus Christ. We have got to understand that God has put a plan and purpose in front of us, and we need to be working towards it. If we're not, we're complacent, we're going to have the potential to drift. And we need to have a discipline. I know discipline is an ugly word sometimes, but we do need to discipline ourselves. I'm not talking about law. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about a discipline that says we will spend that time in front of the Lord. Because it's only when we do that that we'll get the fruits of it. The fruits will be there for us. Philippians 3, 12. I'm going to be closing here. I've got a few other things that I wanted to share, but I think that's enough at the moment. But Philippians 3, I'd really like you to turn with me to that, please. Philippians 3, verse 12. And this is Paul speaking to the Philippians. And he says, "Not that I have already obtained this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on, so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Jesus Christ took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press towards the goal to win the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." And he carries on to say, those of us who are mature should have the same attitude. And when we look at the promises in Philippians 1:6, Paul says, "I know that he who started this work in us will finish it." Again, it's not a maybe. He'll give some thought to it because you know what Bernie's like. I mean, he says, "I will complete it. I will finish the work that I've started in you." And we need to come to that place of going, "Thank you, Lord." Just accepting it, being at peace and being at rest in front of the Lord, saying, "Thank you, Lord." And just listen to what he has to say to you. And I have just a last scripture as a bit of a prayer for all of us. And that is from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9. Right. And this is the Lord speaking to Paul about his weaknesses. And in closing off, we all have weaknesses. Some more than others. Some we don't like to advertise. But we are weak. We are human. We are flesh. And I think we are allowed to put us down in front of the Lord. We are not good enough for the Lord. Well, let me be very clear with you. None of us is good enough before the Lord. But the Lord doesn't care. He's called you. He's brought you into his kingdom because he loves you. He loves all of us. And he doesn't care who you are or where you've been or what you've done. What matters is where you are now. And the prayer that I have is for all of us, is when the Lord is speaking to Paul, he says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough, always available, regardless of the situation. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weakness, so that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me." None of us is competent to do what the Lord wants of us. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual life that we lead. And what the Lord wants to do is encourage us in the Spirit. And it's in the spirit that we begin to see what he wants. It's in the spirit that we begin to discern. We need to be walking in the spirit. There's a lot of scripture about walking in the spirit. It says, if you walk in the spirit, you'll live. But if you walk in the flesh, you will die. And that's what we're talking about. We need to be where the Lord wants us, to be discerning what he wants of us. And so this morning, my encouragement is, listen for the Lord. He's got something great for all of us. It's not just me or Andrew or Susan or Jeanette. So I can go through a whole lot here, but no. He's got it for every single one of you here this morning. Every one of you, including those who listen online. He has a plan and purpose for you. We need to find out what it is. There are too many times in the past I've said, Lord, what am I meant to be doing? But when we get before him in that quietness, in that stillness, the Lord will show us very clearly. Is it a small thing? Never despise the little things. Do you just make the tea or sweep the hall or put the chairs out? Hallelujah. To start. Because when we're faithful in small things, we'll be faithful in large things. Sorry, I've got lots more notes, but I think at this stage I'm... So, for me, encouragement. The Lord is something very special for us. But we need to know what it is. We need to be available to him. It's like the 10 virgins. 5 got their oil right, the other 5 didn't. I want to be one of the 5 who got it right. I want to have my oil bunker full. Winter's coming up. So. Let me pray. Lord, we just want to thank you for the privilege that you've given us of being part of your body, Lord. Each and every one of us, Lord, no matter where we've come from, no matter where we've been, it matters not, Lord. For in your sight, when you look at us, you see your Son Jesus, who is perfection. And Lord, you've called us to serve you. You've called us to be part of your family. You've called us to be sons and daughters in your house. And Lord, you don't leave us as orphans, Lord. You've sent us the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us. Your grace is there for us each and every day. Lord, help us to understand what it is that you want of us. Help us to discipline ourselves to seek you as we should, Lord. For it's only in you that all things are complete, Lord. And so I praise you, Lord. We glorify you, worship you. I pray that for each and every one of us here, we'd go from here today with a desire, Lord, to seek you, to spend that time with you, to know your will for our lives. So I thank you, Jesus. Worship you, praise you, glorify you. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.